Welcome to Design Party, your one-stop shop for everything product design. I'm your host, Antonia, and today I have another guest from Posts app, Ali. Hello and welcome.
Hi. Huh? My name is Ali. I'm here. Yeah.
So, where are you from? What do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself for a quick introduction.
Quick intro for me. So, I'm Ali. I'm based in Toronto, Canada. By day, I am a senior product designer at Shopify. And then by night, in my free time, I guess it's not really free time, but I teach at an online bootcamp. I teach UX design, UX research at a bootcamp called Memorizely. So it's all online. You may have seen some of my friends making TikToks about design, but yeah, happy to be here.
That's very interesting because I myself was a mentor for a year or so, a couple of years ago. I wanted to try it out. So I think mentoring is the best topic for us to discuss a little bit because I believe we have a lot to say. Do you agree?
Yeah. I would say there's different perspectives on mentoring too. Actually, I want to know, Antonia, I know that you're supposed to be the host, but I was wondering like how you got started into it. What prompted you to mentor?
Very interesting question. So I have a YouTube channel that I'm maintaining more or less for, let's say, 4 years with like long breaks, but we don't have time to be full-time YouTubers, nor it pays well for everybody. For me, it never paid anything except like getting jobs and freelancing. But okay, not like YouTube money. Anyways, so I was very passionate and I'm still passionate about teaching. I was recording a lot of tutorials about Figma and some general aspects of design. I just wanted to share knowledge because without people willing to share their knowledge for free with me, I might not be today. In Finland, I'm originally from Croatia. So like a lot of things happened to me, like positive things, just because some other people were kind and nice to share their knowledge. So I wanted to return the favor to community. And I was doing that for a long time. And then my friend who is mentoring, not sure if she's doing that at this moment, but for very many years, she was doing that. And she was like, Antonia, you need to come to this, I don't know, online school. You are a perfect match. Like you already do this. Like, why don't you, you know, get a mentee and or earn some money in the process? Because, you know, you do this for free. Why not try mentoring? At first, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. This seems terrifying. But then I tried and I liked it a lot. I quit because I didn't agree with the new salary. So I was like, I can't do that anymore. Thank you. But yeah, that's my not so short story. How about you?
I was one of those people that I love design communities. I really got into mentoring. I was actually the pandemic. Like 2020 prompted me to be more active in it because I realized there's a lot of people that wanted to break into design. And at the same time, I like what you said earlier, you want to give back. I also wanted to give back because I was in their shoes. And for me, like I didn't start in design. Like I was a science student in university. So I always felt like there must be more people like me out there who wanted to transition out of some random degree. Well, I said, okay, that's what I could bring to the table to at least share like hope to people. So I would look for like online communities to be present. And then on the flip side, in terms of progressing as a designer, I also wanted to flex my more soft skills and leadership skills.
Yes.
And nice. Like, why not try it out? Like, I'm just talking about my experience. It's not like I'm teaching like high-level design systems or something. Yeah. So I thought if I can talk more about my path, that can also help me like practice more listening and trying to figure out what people are asking me about, like the true root of their question. So I joined like a couple online like communities where I could mentor, and also people would also find me on LinkedIn, surprisingly. Yeah.
I also got a lot, I will mark this as explicit, so shit ton of people just trying to connect with me, and a lot of people who actually watched my tutorials on Figma or how to make Figma plugins or anything like that. And they wanted to, just to connect because it seems that I was their like YouTube hero and they just wanted to connect.
Yeah. Do they tell you that?
Yeah, actually. Maybe humble brag, I don't know. But I actually received zero hate. And so far, I received plenty, ridiculously high amount of emails and like messages on Twitter and LinkedIn from people who would also comments underneath like the YouTube videos. Thank you so much. This is totally new way of thinking about this. Oh my God, this helped me with this. It was like a tremendous amount of positive messages. And I hope I helped somebody in a way that it maybe transformed their career or something.
Yeah, especially if they reach out to you to that point.
Yeah, so that part, it feels good. I'm not doing like these tutorials and stuff because I feed off people praising me. I don't do it for that. That's not the reason. It's just, I don't know, something drives me inside to share. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy gene.
Yeah, I get it. There's maybe all designers have that quote unquote crazy gene where you just want to create something and put it out in the world with the fun part design.
I don't know, maybe I'm one of those like hyper-focused designers. Probably a bit annoying person to see. Like if you have like family and you really don't have time to do all these crazy things because you have other stuff to take care of. I don't want to go into that area of life. So I am in full control of my time and I will forever be. That's my decision. So I constantly create something, whether that's like audio content like we are doing right now, video content for YouTube, writing a blog post, writing a Figma plugin, learning, like I'm literally reading Figma changelog just to educate myself on all new features because I want to be like super up to date and never miss a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just like hyper-focused. I think that's the good word to explain. Do you do that?
I don't think I'm as hyper-focused as you, but I'm always itching for something new.
Yeah,
I'm also like hyper-focused. I would run out of time or energy because there's just so many things.
There's no...
Like on my end, right? So sure, I work day-to-day at Shopify, which has a giant UX community. There's so many designers in there that now even I'm trying to keep... It's like a new Twitter. Do you remember? I don't know if you're on design Twitter. I know you're on posts now as well. But you know how design Twitter back then, people would just post like everything they're working on. And then you're like, I want to try that. Now I there's a phase in my design Twitter where it's all like 3D. And I was like, okay, I should learn 3D. And then the phase when it was Webflow came in, I was like, okay, I should learn Webflow. And then all the different things. But now I have two sets of that. I have the Shopify world with all the designers I'm trying to keep up with. And then I have the other outside world of design. And then on top of that, you're just layering and more. That's why I'm like, yes, I also want to create like you, but also at the same time, I love my bed.
I understand. I would say you're also very hyper-focused and curious. I think this is turning into or something like that. So maybe we can switch gears and visit mentoring for a little bit, because I think we will both find interesting thinking here from both of us. And I would really love to hear everything you think about that since you have a lot of experience. So I want to start with something hard. What do you think about the current status of mentoring platforms? Because we know there are plenty now. And maybe with the status, I want to hear, do you think it's like super working or there's some hiccups?
I think it's great for, I should probably do like a warning, like, hey, in my experience, I'm usually the mentor because I've been lucky where in my current jobs or in my past roles, I've always had like a person that mentors me. Like I've just been really lucky that all my design managers are skilled mentors. Yeah. So I never had to like seek out a new mentor. But for me, like I go out there and share my experiences because a lot of my experiences tend to be breaking into design anyways. And a lot of the population is trying to break into design or tech. So I think it's great for that, the break-in population. But one of the downsides I've had with it is they just ghost me. As a mentor, I'm here giving my free time And I would love to at least celebrate your wins with you. And so what it starts to feel like is like a series of first dates.
Oh my God.
Hear from them again. Yeah, there's so many. Like there would be times where there was a time where I accidentally forgot to change the setting of how often people could book me. The time where I met 3 people in 1 week and I was like, this is too much. So I started to do 1 a week. Then I got to the point where I did 1 once a month because it was just like, this is a lot. It's a lot of energy. For a brand new person, every time you're like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And it requires a lot of mental capacity because you really can't slip up. You really need to listen and be there for this person. It's not so trivial as maybe somebody might think. I also tried mentoring within my own company and I'm always helping people trying to get to design side of things. And it was hard. On top of work, life, hobbies, family, friends, whatever, there's another person that depends on you. Like you should pour everything you know in best package possible and give it that person in some way that they can absorb that. That's hard. That's super hard.
Yeah.
If I may extend the answer for my own question, I was mentoring for a year on, to be quite honest, I forgot the name of the platform. So even if I would want to name, I can't remember anymore because it was 2 years ago. And it was a great experience. I have to say, I loved it. And I still stayed in touch, at least on LinkedIn, with one mentee. She was brilliant. She works in design. And my God, if I would ever have a company, I would definitely send an invitation because really, really quality person from day one. But what I want to say with these online platforms, so I've been researching like which one to join, you know, what is out there. And it seems that all of them are selling this dream or idea that you can just like that switch to design. You just work for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. And all of a sudden, boom, you are qualified to be a designer. I think that's a bit problematic.
Do you, when you get into those calls, do you say that? But that's not true. You can't.
Really? No,
it's not.
I do approach this topic very, like with a lot of sensitivity because I don't want to say something wrong, but I also don't want to leave an impression that this is easy. And yes. You just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you wake up a designer. It doesn't go like that, really. And
I find that on my end, like when I have to, because their question is always like, how did you break into design? And I always warn them like, on my resume, you would see that I did a bootcamp and you would assume that was it. But really, I tell them like, actually, I did a bootcamp in 2019, but I graduated from university in 2016 where I was doing a minor in design. So there was a secret phase of graphic design that people don't notice. I warned them like, I got into it because I had pre-work. Like I was doing it already that early on. And for you to just jump in, I want you to take everything I say with a grain of salt because it's not that easy, like you said.
And also, I think it also varies between countries quite a lot because mm-hmm. in some countries, you already have these colleges that have a plethora of different curriculums where you can learn design from various angles, and that's great. You probably learn everything you need to know, and after a few years, you can probably work in any company and be a decent designer. But in some countries, there is no school that will teach anything like that. So, of course, I come from one of these countries that don't have schools that would teach you, at least not public schools. But if you have Frit, as we say in Croatia, then of course there are schools, private schools that would teach you that and probably hook you with a future employer. So yeah, my journey was do it yourself, literally. I was lucky enough that my parents bought me my first computer when I was a tiny kid, but that was only because we didn't have neighbors and they felt bad about it. So they were like, let's buy her a computer, but they didn't even anticipate what that will turn out to be. Like from the first moment, I was like glued and I never unglued from the computer. I just have more computers around me.
Yep, I get that. Yeah. You turn off your work computer to open your personal computer.
Yes. And sometimes I have a new thing now. I wanted to go back into my gaming days. So I built a computer myself after a decade of last time building one. So now I have this big white box and then I press powers and Windows.
Now you have a computer for everything.
Yeah. Right now on my table, I have my phone, work computer, home computer, and PC for gaming.
Yeah. I don't have the PC, but I have the same setup right now.
Yep. That's how it goes. You should get a PC and gaming because we have time. We have time in life. Like
allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah. What else to say about this introduction question? I want to approach this topic like carefully. I don't want to... Sometimes, like, when I do these episodes, I might be like, but I don't want to, like, discourage people from trying to join boot camps or these online schools and stuff like that, because they can truly be wonderful and make a difference.
So I always just warn people, like, one, it's expensive. Like, I was at that crossroads, too, when I had to decide, do I go do it yourself? Do I go boot camp? All of that. And I always tell them, like, first of all, I cannot tell you the answer. The end of the day, I'm just your mentor. I'm supposed to guide you. You're the one you drive. Yes, you don't have to listen to me, but this is my suggested route, but trust me, there's many paths, right? And I always warn them, like, you have to figure out what really works for you, or at least reflect on the type of learner that you are, because that's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to learn. So I did a boot camp because I succeed in schools. Put a teacher beside me, I'll be the best.
Nice.
No teacher, I'm screwed. I won't do anything. Like, I need the accountability. If anything, I need the teacher going, good job. That means the world to me.
Oh, like, my gosh. Good job.
I know that. Exactly. I just know that about myself. And I said, to be honest, that's what I'm paying for in a boot camp. I just needed that person. If it's a good boot camp that has a very active teacher, like, that's enough for me, because I just really needed the accountability and maybe like the refined curriculum and refined homework, rather than me going do it yourself. And I'm just like, I could work on this next week. Forget about all of that. So I always tell them, like, think about it from that perspective too. Think about it financially. Time commitment. Are you okay with it? So those are like typically the questions I get. And sometimes I tell them, like, you could also go the mentorship route, which no one has taken with me, because I've seen mentorship a few ways. There's the mentorship where it's just like the first date analogy I gave, they on LinkedIn or whatever platform, and then I never see them again, which I find problematic and a waste of everyone's time, but it's okay. The second route that I see is obviously a paid version through a boot camp, which is different because you've both put in a lot of money, the mentee and then you as a mentor, you're getting paid. On the flip side, I've been joining at work. We have a mentorship program where obviously it's still within our company, but it's 16 weeks. And every week you meet with them. And the idea is that you as a mentee, first of all, you have to drive it in terms of where you want to go. But because you meet with them and because you've outlined a plan, there's something to talk about. Like, you're both aware of where you're trying to go and that you're building it week by week. And sometimes I offer that to some of my mentees. We could do this twice a month, once a month, however long it takes, where I can give you active feedback and we could work on something together. No one ever takes up on it. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's not the option. Yeah, I find it weird. Maybe they're not actually serious. Maybe that's why I always get the first type of mentorship where they just may for 2 years.
Maybe they think it's like super easy, and then when they talk with the actual designer, they maybe think, maybe that was a mistake, maybe I shouldn't do that, I'll go back to my accounting or whatever. Maybe a bad joke, but yeah, I had like situation where a person didn't put any effort, didn't drive anything, always did the minimal to pass the test, like the bare, but like barely. I was like always asking for another iteration and it would never happen. So I don't understand that mindset, but yeah, the point is design is not for everybody. It's not super easy job. You're not just pushing pixels and then admire our work while we drink wine. It's much more than that. Very stressful, a lot of responsibilities, and a lot of them our coworkers don't even understand. So it's even harder.
Or they'll say, do it next time. We could do it next time.
No. Yeah, next time. That's a code word. It's never going to be implemented. Forget about it. That means put it to the bottom of Jira.
Yeah. Archive it.
Actually, if you're interested, I started kind of a series of designer anxieties. I did part one with my usual co-host. We are preparing for next round and next round and next round. I'm like getting so much like sources.
There's a lot more.
Sorry?
There's a lot. People are sending in more. The anxiety.
People are not sending me, like, I ask that question on post, but I keep finding, like, different sources. Like, just today, I can share. Just today, I went on Twitter, which I don't like to use. I barely open it, but it's Eurovision week in Europe, so I want to follow everything, and Twitter is the place to be. So I opened it. First post that I saw was, basically, designers have managers, like product leads, developers, and other stakeholders, and they are all real-time looking at designs moving and leaving comments. Let's just say it out loud, something like, Figma sucks. This is not a productive way. But basically, that was the point of the Twitter status. It was much better worded. I'm just trying to recall what I read earlier today.
This person doesn't like Twitter. Sorry, Figma and the live collaboration, I guess.
After, I'm like very big fan of Figma and the biggest critic because I love it so much. So, of course, I will point out something that is not working out that great. But after reading, I think I experienced like some sort of nirvana moment after reading that post. I just stood there with my phone. I'm like, wait a second, this dude is right. That is, I agree with that. I totally agree with that because it's not convention in every company that there is like work in progress file and then maybe you put version 1.36 in some other page. So it happens actually quite frequently, at least in every company I ever worked for, that you get like this like pins all around whether this design is done or not. So is that your experience? Do you agree with that?
Not at all. I find that I get to say I need feedback now, and that's when it comes. So sometimes I'm the one that's, I need to ask for feedback sooner because sometimes I feel like maybe it is ready for feedback and I'm just being protective and I just keep pixels or whatever. But I haven't had any experience where I get unsolicited.
Oh my feedback. God, you're so lucky. I'm jelly a little bit.
Maybe they just don't know how to use Figma or maybe everyone's so busy. But usually I'm the like, hello, I need feedback. No one's responded.
This situation also happens to me. Like when I need feedback, then it's like tumbleweed.
Yes.
Emoji or GIF. But also it happens quite a lot. And like I said, in
a cultural thing?
I would say it's that. I believe that companies should maybe have like protocols and workflows.
Like
maybe head of product design should set some, let's say, rules how to go about designing. Because otherwise it's like Wild West. Every team does whatever they want. I'm not sure if that's like the best way to do things.
It would be annoying because you're like, obviously, I was going to work on that, but then you made such a big deal out of it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very individual. I don't know what to think, but at least I know what I would expect from my peers, how to behave in my Figma file. Mm-hmm. Because I was reading comments underneath that tweet, and people were actually saying, yeah, what the fuck, like, it's micromanaging constantly, like, comments and, like, feedback in work in progress stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm working on it. Like, why are you commenting right now?
Yeah.
This is stressful.
And like, I will say I've had like moments where I always have to preface like, this is exploratory. Some of them will take it too seriously, freak out. I've had moments like that where I'm just like, I'm just looking for general feedback. This is exploratory. Or I'll even point, no, just give me feedback on the button where it's placed. but they'll talk about the whole feature and they don't even understand what the feature is. And I'm like, you are wasting all of our time.
Because they just sound loud.
I didn't say that out loud, but I'll say something like, hey, can we go back? Is that a blocker or is that just a suggestion?
You still
talk about it.
People who want to switch to design, they are not aware of these situations that happen.
Okay.
My connection just went to crapper.
It's okay. You were saying people who want to get into design don't know about this stuff.
Exactly. So you started to say something and then I disappeared. I was kicked out.
No, I was just going to agree that, yeah, they underestimate the... I even find that as I grow in my career, I'm just more... It's all the people skills that keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say, now that I'm a bit older and wiser, that soft skills and who are you as a person, so much more important than yeah. your hard skills. You can learn that. Anybody can learn everything. Not yeah. really surgery or something complex. I don't know, some sending rockets to space and stuff like that. But if we are talking yeah. in the space of making apps, yes, most of the things you can learn as you go.
Yeah.
I actually have a situation right now where I have a friend. She's a developer, but she is always very curious about design and she actually would like to switch to design. She wants to try how is the grass greener on our side of the field.
Yeah.
And she's my best friend, so I will tell her, like, I will tell her what I think and like we would go with a glass of wine into deep details, like what happened last week and stuff. So she's like fully aware that not every day is the best day for a designer.
The podcast, Antonia, just that you and your developer friend yeah. just had like talking about is the grass greener on the other side? Because there are times, I think there's like a, I think sometimes designers wish we were as powerful as the developers. I don't, and the companies I've been at, if the developer says that's too hard.
Yeah,
it's
salt gone.
Gone.
Forget
your design opinion. They said it. It's gone. So I wonder if they think about us in a similar way. Because I always see them as like, they hold the power. I don't know what they think of us.
That's a really good question. And I'm pretty sure my friend who is a developer, she's not thinking bad things because she understands the craft of product design. She's really good at UX side of things. I've been giving her tips for years now, so I assume something is sticking. This UI part is a little bit laggy. I think needs a lot of polish and work. I'm trying to give like tips like with like modular scales and like how to use like common sense and a little bit of math to actually make it nice without having some specific skill in making things beautiful.
Yeah.
So she interestingly enough, she sometimes also dishes the dirt with me and says, oh, this designer like draws like this, blah, blah, blah. This takes 3 months to develop. What the hell?
Yeah.
And I agree with that because probably this designer, I know for a fact that this designer doesn't know anything about coding. And I find that a bit problematic. So I think developers should be interested and try to learn a little bit about product design, while product designers should also be a little bit flexible and learn a little bit about how code works.
Yeah. Or sometimes the two people just need to share what they're curious about.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, sometimes designers are the bad guys. Sometimes developers are. Depends on the situation. There's always room for improvements. But to be quite honest, in my experience, I would say that developers see us as a suggestion rather than a decision.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I think that's problematic.
Like, yeah, that's the feeling I have. I've never confirmed it.
Me neither. This is my like hunch, my gut feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think we all say it, but we're like, but is that true? Is
that not- I hope it's not. It's not like black or white because developers are not like one person or one personality. There is like a plethora of people. And I worked with developers who were so specific about design. Like they were following everything to the point. I would have to say it once. And when I had design QA, it was perfect. I didn't have anything to shit about.
Actually, it was brilliant.
But on the other hand, I remember, I will always remember that moment. I had to design like one interface for web app, very simple, like beta version. Not, it was like super simplistic. It had to be done in a couple of days. It was not too hard. So I did it like in super simple way. And then developer who was supposed to implement everything, he was like coding. And like after a day, he turns to me and says, with the beautiful smile, Antonia, I am done. Check it out. And I come closer to his monitor. All the spacings are arbitrary. Colors are not matched. Like typography is like random. And
yeah.
So I think he meant about functionality. And I'm like, have you ever checked the parameters in Figma that I left?
Well, do you know how to use inspect?
Yeah. I was like completely confused. And then I said,
yeah.
Are you aware that all the spacings and colors and typography, like literally everything that I see here is not as designed?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you make it like Figma? Actually, at the time, it was Sketch.
Sketch.
It was a bit past. And then he was like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Why don't you do it immediately? It's not a suggestion. There's a reason behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
If companies would be a little bit less protective of developers,
maybe. I've had some developers that are very kind. They'll say, they'll ask a question like, oh, why are we doing this? But then they'll say, but I want to know the UX reason. I'm just a developer. I just want to know the UX reason. Wow, that's so nice. Thank you for being specific about it. Because even they're probably like, I don't want her to feel like I'm questioning her expertise.
But that's beautiful. This is how it should be.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Just recognize that each other is the expert. And then we just have to explain in simpler terms.
Yeah, trust each other. Because we are probably both professionals. We both work for like unicorn companies and like worldwide known companies. So probably we are not just picked from the street and brought in. Obviously, we have some skills that are good, not good enough, but like match for high level that these companies are looking for. So how about we trust each other?
Yeah.
Girls can dream. Maybe one thing. But I wanted to mention something about mentoring.
Yeah.
To go back to that topic. So I would say that most of people who contacted me when it comes to seeking for help or leaving comments under my YouTube videos, they were very interested in how to switch careers for free. I want to say one thing. First, knowledge costs. There is no free knowledge. Sure, yes, go to Wikipedia and like you have free knowledge. But if you want to hone a skill, learn a craft, that probably costs. A cost can be also in time. There is some cost involved. Secondly, coming from a country where people are working for like minimal money and can't afford even like $10, $12 online, like these schools, whatever, with video tutorials, I do understand that some people are like, is there like a way I can do it so I can actually save myself? Start over.
Yeah.
So how can, like, what would be your tips for people like that?
Who want to learn for free?
Yeah. What are tricks and tips to get there?
I mean, that's what I was mentioning earlier, right? I've offered to some mentees, like we could do a more active long-term relationship in this where you get it for free, but I'm just giving you suggestions, but no one takes it.
So
again, I don't know why. I find that still weird because in my head, I'm like, there you go.
And see, but, product designer from Shopify, like, are you crazy? Grab this.
But they don't, they're not interested. Maybe the commitment, once again, I think like putting in some money, putting in some skin in the game helps with it. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because with design, as much as you can read books that you can grab for free, that doesn't mean much either. Sometimes these books are outdated by the next month that they're released. Unless you're reading a book that's like maybe psychology based, like truly like human things. Sure, you could read it so you can create your little starter pack of educational design things, but software like changes like month to month.
Pretty much. And every company's different. So you can learn everything and then anticipate every situation that will ever happen in every company that doesn't exist.
I will respect, though, like, there are a lot of, like, our huge design leaders who are opening up courses where they just record videos of themselves. And it's pricey.
It is, I noticed.
It's pricey that sometimes I'm like, I don't even have the, back then, I wouldn't have the professional budget to get that covered by my company.
Yeah. And I have one course on Udemy and I don't know where else. I recorded like basically Figma 1-on-1.
Yeah.
People to just learn it. And then because Figma, even though it looks like simplistic, all these buttons you can do the crazy shit. Yeah. But I never imagined even asking like hundreds of dollars, even though I really share important stuff. I think I am asking like $15 or something like that.
Yeah. Something I think about with mentorship, just talking about like money, is I've seen some people that on their personal website, they actually charge for mentorship. It'll be like $45 an hour, which is quite a lot.
Yeah. I think I have still account in, what's the name? Super Peer. Where I will ask.
Ooh, that's one of them, right?
Yeah.
You could ask.
So I should probably take this off because I really don't have time at this point for this kind of thing. And actually recently it happened that somebody booked. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I did it anyway, but still, I should probably take it off after recording this. So I did ask some amount. I definitely didn't inflate the price, but yeah, I don't want to offer my services for free because I offer the whole YouTube channel where you can learn really everything to kickstart your journey. So I'm giving you all of that for free. And I'm recording these podcasts again for free. A lot of knowledge here. So if you want specific knowledge or somebody to work one-on-one with you, then I don't know, $50 or something.
I've thought about that too, because I get a lot of generic questions that I just find myself that I'm repeating myself. Sometimes I'm like, should I just record either video, should I just do an FAQ section in my website, so that next time if people do book a meeting with me, it's more like tactical, or perhaps like it's about a specific case study that they want me to take a look at, or they want to practice like a job interview. Like at least it's more hands-on rather than them just saying, so how do I break it to design?
It's so hard to answer. It's not a good question. What do you mean?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Like FAQ, how to break into design, and tips and triggers
the link. Yeah.
But also one thing, I heard that suggestion or advice for many people in life. If you price something as free, then people automatically think it's not that worthy.
Yes. Yeah.
So putting a certain price might perceive
like it's really valuable.
Yeah. So I don't think like free is like the best way forward. Also, like very cheap also might signal the person, not good quality.
But I had a mentee who booked with me online and I didn't ask for it, but she sent me a Starbucks gift card like the day after.
So
I was like, this is the best.
I would cry. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to now import it into my app. So I'm starving.
My dog.
Oh,
my
dog.
Yeah.
I was just so impressed that mentee did that on their room.
It's beautiful. I would love that more.
I would love that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, dog, you know what happens with this dog? She somehow knows when I'm recording a podcast and then she comes in front of the door to bark. But I am the whole day in the meetings, in the same spot. Nothing. Lazy in my bed. Does nothing. Yeah. Every time. And I can't cut this. I can't edit this. So this is why I need to keep this casual, because I can't edit barking.
Good.
But yeah, I was also thinking about something like collecting people who are really interested in mentoring. I have this crazy gene. And having like starting maybe like this online company that is, you know, what's the name of that not company, but like website designed to code from Meng To. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Imagine having 5 people who are well-versed in like different categories of topics of design, and then having these like highly, like nicely produced videos, like high quality, and conquering different topics, even series about something, then having this live designing stuff and even showing how meetings go, like just raw, like to show people mm-hmm. that sometimes it's shit, horrible, like yeah. unprepared and like we need to redo it. It's not good. Don't do that. Like future you designer. I think that would be brilliant, but I don't know that much people that would do that. So it's just a dream.
It could work out. It almost feels like a your own board of directors if you have like a person for each skill or design, and then you would you pay for it? Are you thinking you'd pay for it?
I would
a Patreon.
I would do it like a freemium version.
Yeah.
You make an account and then every week you get a few videos for free. But if you want to, you know, get the best yeah. knowledge, best fit, then you pay, I don't know, $10 per 10 euros. It's more worth it than dollars right now per month. And then you get access or you pay. I'm a big fan of lifetime licenses. I'm so tired of subscriptions. I had a whole rant through 2 episodes at least in the past. So I would yeah. make some packages, pay 100, but it's yours. Just take it and maybe some yeah. topics that are like evergreen. I don't know, color theory, typography.
Yeah.
Some stuff that is like relevant for a bit longer.
What attracts me about that idea is design is a sport. It's a team sport. But what could be fun with your little panel is that it just shows how it is a collaborative process. Because I find that a lot of design, I don't know what to call them, influencers. I don't know. A lot of these personalities, these design personalities on social media just act on their own. And they'll be like describing how they would interact with another person. But I've never seen a group of people collaborate live together, or imagine if you had a developer in there.
Good point.
Because that's a different way of learning rather than me saying, here's how you make a case study. Like, boring.
You imagine like designers, developers, product
leads. Yeah. Live stream that. Live stream how you guys are building something. Oh, I'd watch it. I'd play in the background.
Oh my God. If I ever found a startup, I'm going to have live cam.
You could. There's an agency in New York that used to do that. They just have a live camera of the office. And on their website, you just see them like walking around. People live stream their workflows now on Twitch. But imagine if it was like 2 people. Yeah, or more.
Yeah, and also that you can't really live stream your work if you're under NDA or...
yeah.
And I can't live stream my work if it's interesting, but I would get fired the same day.
Side projects or something. I don't know.
Even client projects. I just had one client for a month. I had to sign NDAs. Can't live stream that. I never even referenced that anywhere. Like, it was a fun project, but yeah. But interesting.
But hey, that's another way that I also tell mentors or mentees, if you want to learn, but I don't think even I haven't done this, like hackathons and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's obviously a way, but I've had some really keen people who maybe all of them came from some sort of boot camp that had coding and design, and they just work on side projects together. And I'm like, that's beautiful because that you get 2 in 1. You grow design skills and you grow your people skills.
Yeah. I always suggest to people, learn by doing.
Yeah.
Best way to learn. This is actually how I learn coding, because I'm a crappy developer. So I know a thing or two.
Yeah.
And how I learn things is I get this passion project idea. Most of them tend to get abandoned near the end because I'm like just drained and exhausted and I need to break from everything. And like just recently I was like, I could make iOS and Android app where you can log your subscriptions, because remember I mentioned that I had a rant about subscriptions. So it's consumed with subscription thoughts. And I coded it and it works. I have it on my phone, but I never found time to make this final stretch and wrap it up and publish it. But I learned.
But it worked.
Yeah. I learned a bunch, like a lot about asynchronous code in JavaScript and like a bunch of new paradigms in coding. It was really useful. But the same goes with design and anything else, really. You just, okay, this is my goal. How do I get there? I always say to people, you don't have to know everything. You just need to be good at Googling stuff.
Yeah. Or just to give yourself the grace of, it's probably not going to be good, but you did
it. Yeah, not every project like, needs probably, to be like glamorous.
That's the fun part.
Or whatever. But we have ChatGPT now and different AI tools. I think people who are very smart should jump the train now. Because
I think so.
Yeah, you can just go to ChatGPT and say, make me a curriculum. I want to learn product design.
Yeah.
And you will get it. And then you can be responsible adult and do it at your own pace. But you have topics. This is the gist of all things. Somebody should give you like bullet points.
Well, it's funny because you bring that up and I would have mentees say like, I have a job interview tomorrow. There's a whiteboarding activity. How do I do it? Or do you have a sample? And I lost my sample because usually I just have one sample that I reuse. So obviously I use ChatGPT to just feed me one. And then in my head, I'm like, they could have done that. They could have just done that on their own. So I sent it to them and I said, if you want more, you could honestly just talk to ChatGPT. Maybe use my template, but you could change the brief. Yeah.
Maybe another good side business would be selling prompts for product design GPT.
Yeah. I'm sure you can.
I saw somebody selling these prompts for, I don't know, some content creation. I remember I literally stopped for a second and facepalmed myself because, wow, people are selling sentences that you ask from GPT.
Yeah.
What? Wow, really? Like,
creating new revenue. Look at that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I like, for me, it's like super ridiculous. But anyways, this was a joke. I would never sell that. I think it's stupid, if anything. But on the other hand, what if you are like uncreative and you don't know what to ask? People stay open for ideas. But yeah, I would definitely recommend anybody right now who wants to kickstart their design career, use AI tools. It helps me also in my day work. Do you use it in your work?
I do.
In what way?
I was supposed to do some card sorting the other day, but I already had a feeling that I knew how to put the content together. I go back and forth on whether I like ChatGPT because sometimes I'm just using it as confirmation and I worry that maybe I shouldn't be confirming myself, but I'll use it for that. Sometimes for content, I'll feed it our content principles. Then I say, this is the content. Can you rewrite it following our company's like content guidelines? And then they'll rewrite the copy. Sick. So I don't have to bother my content designer. They could do more serious things.
It's really good for UX copy. And I'm worried about UX writer's future. But I had to write some copy for a new project I was working on. And I was like, I'm just going to chat a bit with ChatGPT and see what happens. And I was like, rah, rah. And I copy-pasted all the answers. And then I invited UX writer, hey, can you check this out now? I am done with this version. And then he was like, oh, good, really good. Good job. And I'm like, thank you. If you only know.
I hope that this means UX writers will have a bigger challenge to work on in the future. Yeah. Maybe this to them is like easy stuff, so they're okay with getting rid of it.
Yeah, maybe they can start focusing on like big things.
Like content.
Maybe ChatGPT allows us to start thinking big things instead of focusing on like minor, so stupid things, so repetitive things that we did so many times in our lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I'm very optimistic and looking forward to the future.
But this does give me the idea, maybe I should just train it to be me as a mentor. So that, like, it'll talk as me to my mentees, like, for simple stuff.
Well, if you know Python, then you can...
Yeah, I have to learn Python. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if you tried, but I was using ChatGPT as a helper to code Figma plugin.
Mm-hmm.
It works. I would spend so much hours into coding all that crap. Oh, my God, because I'm now writing a plugin for making new color palettes and also a light color manager because these palettes need to live somewhere. And in future, hopefully that will be like a token manager kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a difficult plugin to code, I think, especially because you need to work with colors and all that. But I used ChatGPT to help me, and in 2 days I had like the main thing, like this color generator part of the app.
I need to be more adventurous with it, I think. Right now I just keep treating it like a glorified Google search. But I'm going to push boundaries.
Let me give you some ideas. I actually...
Yeah.
I pay for $20 because I want full access to... It's not even full access to GPT-4. It's for 25 prompts in 3 hours, and then it resets. It's very clunky. It's like glorified demo that you pay for like too much money. But okay. I use it a lot, so I was like, okay, let's try a little bit, and I can always cancel the subscription if I don't seem it.
Yeah.
It's needed. How I use it, apart for coding companion, I also use it to learn Finnish. So I still am not...
Me too. I look to it in French. Yeah.
Yeah. For learning...
I'm trying to learn Finnish. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's great.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know how other people learn languages, but for me, exercises are the key. So I literally, trained it is a little bit too fancy way of saying it. Just a second. I have messages now flying. I need to kill all my apps. This is going to be a disaster to edit. So I talked with it for a very long time, like how the concept of this exercise should be. Basically, what I wanted is I wanted to learn how to conjugate using like Finnish cases. So I want 20 sentences with blank spot. And then in parentheses, I wanted to like to see the whole sentence translated into Croatian. So I would also learn new words while at it. I didn't want to be blocked by, oh, I don't know what this word means. So I don't know. I don't know how to do this. Horrible.
Okay. It's okay. You said you learn conjugation, but then you translate into Croatian, so you learn new words.
Yeah, because I didn't want to be stopped by not knowing some word with completing the translation of that sentence. It's great. It works brilliantly. And also one tip, I have another chat open with ChatGPT where I ask, so I said, I want to learn most commonly used Finnish words. Give me 5 today from the most common to least. Let's go this way.
Oh, so you're just talking to it. You're not like coding anything. You're just telling it what you want it to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you use it?
No, like that fancy fill in the blanks one that you said.
No, I was just saying.
Hold it.
Yeah. I said, I was very descriptive. Like you could pretty much get any. And sometimes. Yeah, I'm trying to also make a little, I don't know, cheat sheet of Finnish grammar, like something that I can print and tape to a wall. So I wanted a specific table with specific things that make sense to me, like different grammar stuff combined into one. So I said to ChatGPT, make me a table. And when I copy-pasted this into Pages, it was an actual table because it uses Markdown. It works. It's brilliant. I love it. I'm obsessed. How about we slowly wrap this episode up? I had 2 times troubles with connection. That never happened before, but it's going to be hell to edit this. I can already say it. Can't wait. I will need a big cup of coffee.
Maybe alcohol. Yeah, both.
So, do you have anything that you would like to discuss before we wrap it up? Or if you want, you can just sign us up.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I am still playing around with mentorship, trying to find a sweet spot for it. I want to help people, but I also wonder if there's more. I'm sure there's more to change about it or to improve. So I'm curious where it goes from here.
Yeah, I would to add to your thinking, schools and boot camps are all right, but design is one of these professions that you don't have a clear curriculum as a developer can have. Like, you learn what's a variable, what's a function, what's a class, and then you know coding. So there is no such thing in design. It's very vague. It sounds like shit.
Very vague.
But it's like that, unfortunately. Yeah. Or maybe luckily, who knows? Yeah, I mean, if you want to know tips and tricks for people who went through all the loops and hoops, then we will put some links and stuff where to reach us in show notes. And also you can find us somewhere online. I will leave you links in show notes for that as well. And let's chat. I'm always open to help people. I will always find time. Crazy Jean.
Likewise, likewise. Everyone's welcome. Just, I'd love to see progress after. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, the only prerequisite is send a message if you are serious about it.
If you truly are serious, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not nice to waste somebody's time when somebody's trying to help you for free that usually you would pay a lot of money. With that said, thank you for listening to this episode. Ali, once again, thanks for joining. I had a lot of fun. This was a crazy episode. I loved it. So I will leave the mic to you so you can say whatever you want to listeners and sign us off.
Oh, gosh. That's a big shocker. Thank you for stressing me out. But likewise, I really enjoyed our time together. Honestly, it's always fun to meet people across the world, but also help me practice or inspire me to start a podcast. But for all the listeners out there, honestly, keep designing, keep it a party, make it fun. We'll see you next time.